If you have your Bibles, we're in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to finish chapter 5 this morning, and we're going to pick it up in verse 16. And this morning, we're going to talk about some very uplifting things and some very challenging things. And I will make mention of this here as we navigate, but we always want to thank God for His grace, for His mercy, for His help in areas that maybe we stumble in. Because some of these things are sobering, and we'll highlight that more as we navigate. Galatians chapter 5 is probably one of the most well-known parts of our New Testament, and usually what we think about when we think about the book of Galatians, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This morning's title of our message is The Fruit of the Gospel. And so when we encounter the gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation, these fruits creep up in our lives and they start to become evident in our lives. So this is week 10 in no other gospel. It's been just a great look at it, just Paul going to war with rivals of the true one and only gospel. Before we get too far in here too, I want to thank Joseph Russell for playing for us this morning. He is being borrowed from his church this morning, but we worked together, and Susanna and I and Joseph, we worked together at Christian Healthcare Ministries. So we're thankful for the split tracks, and we worship God a cappella or whatever, but it's really nice. So thank you for being with us. So we're going to pick it up in verse 16, Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you that this is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. We thank you that when we are weak, you are strong. Jesus, we thank you that you are our perfection. We are not perfect in this time space continuum, but you are our perfection. And so we cling to you just indefinitely. We cling to you for eternal life. And we thank you that more importantly, you hold on to us. So, Jesus, thank you for giving us, by your Holy Spirit, this word that we may just take a sobering look in the mirror of the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, that we may know if we are near your heart. And, Lord, for areas that we all, every one of us,
yes,
need help in, Lord Jesus, send the helper today. Send your Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul here kind of begins to shift gears. He has, for four and a half chapters, he has just had an onslaught of what the gospel is, what the gospel is, what is not the real gospel, what are enemies of the real gospel. And here in chapter 5, as we finish up chapter 5, Paul is going to start to draw some serious lines in the sand, okay, so that we can see if we are truly following Christ, if we are truly filled with his Holy Spirit, or if maybe we are just playing some kind of a game. Maybe we just don't want to go to hell. Maybe we just want to, you know, use Jesus as a way to give us things instead of giving us him.
Yes.
And Paul is going to start here in chapter 5, verse 16. He's going to say, walk by the Spirit. It's one of the things we don't talk about enough in modern times, how important, how vital it is for us as Christians to walk by the Spirit. Paul goes on to say here, and he'll say this in other parts of the scriptures as well, that there is a battle going on between the Holy Spirit and the flesh. Mm-hmm. Jesus would say that the flesh is, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There is a war going on. If we could tear back the curtains of the natural and look at the supernatural, which we cannot do literally, but we can do that to a degree, knowing the truth of God's word, that there is a battle going on for your joy, for your peace, for those that are not saved, to keep them from being saved. There's a battle. If that doesn't wake you up, for every child that you know, every child that's worshiping in the back today, there's a battle going on spiritually that Satan is absolutely relentless. He will not concede. We need to be relentless, and we should never concede. And Paul says here, the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. Now, here in a second, and really those are kind of the main three things we're going to talk about, just the reality of that, the war that's going on, the incompatibility of living for Jesus full of the Holy Spirit and living for the flesh and ultimately for sin and the enemy. Okay, and Paul, when we get into the fruit of the flesh, he is going to highlight what that looks like. And then he's going to end our time, for the most part, highlighting the hallmarks of living for Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, but the first thing we want to note that Paul says here is that these are not compatible ideas. Kind of in modern times, what we do is we compartmentalize our walk with Jesus to Sundays, maybe Wednesdays, and then it depends on what else is going on. And we have Jesus kind of tucked into this part of our lives where we can pick him up, put him to the side when we want to do some of the things we want to do. And then we add him in when, like, whenever we need something, it sobers us up, doesn't it? We get scared, we get sick, we get, you know, whatever, we feel like we're under spiritual attack. And then we come and get Jesus and we put him back. And that's really not the way that we need to interact with our faith, okay? And Sunday mornings, these are great. I mean, this is awesome to see everybody here this morning. It's a great reflection of what should be happening in our personal lives throughout the week. And we come together to celebrate and to worship and to be encouraged. And Paul would say here, walk by the Spirit, not just on Sundays, not just when we are with our church family. Our church family coming together is very important to help us. Okay, God speaks secondarily through people. And the fellowship of the saints, you know, is very important to encourage each other. That's why it's so important to be together. Yes. But we're going to part ways here in a few minutes, aren't we? We're going to go into our week. We don't have a Browns game to watch. Some of you might go watch the Steelers or what we call a real team. But the Brownies are going to get it. But we're going to, that's right, next year. We're going to get it next year. As we say at CHM, wait 2 weeks. Approximately 2 weeks.
No.
So, yeah. But no, Paul says here, echoing the words of Jesus, we want to walk by the Spirit. How do we walk by the Spirit? Luke 11:13. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It starts with this. I want you to imagine coming to the feet of the Lord Jesus and saying, Lord Jesus, give me your Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, and I rarely will do this, but I believe, I would hate to assume upon our Lord and Savior, but I believe the first thing he would say is, come to the word he inspired.
Hallelujah.
I'm the living word, and this is the inspired written word. And I say this all the time. And if you want the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, ask the Father. I want the Holy Spirit. I want to feel close to the Lord. I want to feel close to God. I want to be secure in my salvation. I want to know what is your will, oh Lord. Teach me your will. And I believe Jesus would start here. He would say, ask the Father, and let's get into the Bible. This is a letter that the Lord has given us, and it is a love letter, and it is a book of commandments and knowing the heart of God. You cannot hardly be filled with the Holy Spirit of God if you are not filled with the Word of God. And there are other things that go along with that, but Jesus says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You see, we need to come to the Bible and act as if God is telling the truth, because He is the truth. Amen. He is telling us the truth. Ask Him for the Holy Spirit. Ask Him for that nearness. Ask Him for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Ask Him for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not assuming on Him that which one He may give to you. I have dear, and many of us do have dear brothers and sisters in Christ, they think, well, some of the gifts are for everybody, and we love them. I just think that they're wrong on that, but you do have a gift. You do have at least one, maybe multiple gifts. As God created you in His image, as God knit you together fearfully and wonderfully in the womb, He thought about you and He gave you gifts so that you might walk with Him more closely and reach people for Him. Ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. I don't know what your will is, God. I mean, I want to start with the Word, and I want to come to the bread of life, and man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. And I want to, but that doesn't give us all the details for what I'm supposed to do at work tomorrow. Okay, principally, yes, and a lot of details, yes, but Lord, I want to walk with You. I want Your Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us here to ask the Father. Now, you ask yourself privately, when's the last time we've done that? See, Paul says we got to walk by the Spirit.
Yes.
Jesus says, ask for the Holy Spirit and He will come to you. Do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? That's how near God wants to be with us. Unlike the false gods of false religions, our God does not have us at arm's length. He wants to come and make His home with us. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Number two, Romans 8:5. Paul in another letter in Romans. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. One of the things I love about Paul is he has different audiences, but he has the same message. He has the same message of Jesus. He has the same message for the Roman, the Romans, the Galatians, the Ephesians. These are reoccurring ideas. And he's talking to them about the same thing, walking in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit. Paul says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. This is where the battle is. This is where it's won or lost. We're supposed to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And remember, it's not poetry. And so, what are we setting our minds on? We want to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Again, starting in God's Word, being filled with this. And then as we walk and live life, considering Him, thinking about Him, asking God, as Jesus told us, to give us His Spirit and setting our minds. You see, the more of God's Word that we know, the easier that can become to do. Okay, I love that Jesus was tempted three times in the wilderness, but I love the fact that in the midst of that, what did He do? He did not sing worship songs. He did not even pray, at least in this instance. He was praying, but when He was attacked, He came what? To the book of Deuteronomy, the inspired Word of God, three times. We talked Wednesday night about how Satan is... Did God really say? He uses that. Did God really say? Jesus says, God really said. God really said. God really said. Yes, it is written. Yes, it is written. Yes, it is written. Amen. Lastly, walk by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. We're going to talk about drunkenness here in a second. But here's the big idea. God doesn't want to just take your joy away from you. In fact, that kind of stuff is actually hindering your joy. But the big idea is this. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with marijuana. Don't be drunk with drugs. Don't be drunk with other things. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be under His influence. How can you walk by the Spirit if you are under the influence of something else? We're actually to be filled with the Spirit. And I love that Paul says that. God does not want to give you a marginal amount. He wants to fill you to where you're overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. So that when we're in this battle, we, by the Spirit of God, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, we have victory and we glorify Jesus. We worship Him more directly and more truly, and other people around us start to wonder what's going on. That city on a hill becomes illuminated even more. And we're going to talk about drunkenness here in a couple of minutes. But I just want you to know that's the main reason why it is a sin to be drunk or be under any other influence. Because God doesn't want us to go to things. He wants us to come to Him. God, and it's okay to take medication. Okay? I'm not saying we should not take medication, but not for the purpose of being under the influence.
Right.
We live in this world. We live in on earth. We live in this sin-infested world. Sometimes we need crutches. Sometimes we need a wheelchair. Sometimes we need a little medication.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. The heart posture is worship and being close to God. And not going to things to find comfort, to find hope, to find acceptance, to find peace, other than Jesus, other than His Holy Spirit. How do you know? We're going to get into some very, very potent hallmarks of the flesh and hallmarks of the Spirit. But I want you to know this. As you're living this life, if you're inward focused, that's why Paul put this right here. He's been talking to people that were focused on themselves, their circumcision, their works of the law. And it hinders them being focused on God. When we live for the flesh, you're focused on yourself, what you want, what feels good, what I need, what I want, what is best for me. When we are full of the Holy Spirit, we are focused on who? Jesus. And that is a good way. As we leave, and as our Bibles close, and I hope they open up later today, and I hope they open up, you know, throughout the week. If we are not focused on Jesus, that is the tall tale sign we are not walking by the Spirit. The Spirit keeps us focused on God. I am of the persuasion that when we teach and when we look to the Word of God, we want a big view of God. And that includes thinking and pondering things that we can't fully understand. But I want to make much of Him. I want a big view of God. I want a low view of myself. I want a low view of our capabilities. And I want a big view of God. And the Holy Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, keeps us focused on Jesus. Again, Jesus teaches. John 14, 26, but the helper, because listen to me, every one of us fail, every one of us need to walk more closely with Jesus, and look what Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, the helper, Jesus is not going to just tell you to do something and not give us the help that we need. God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is a helper. But the helper, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He's going to point to Jesus. And when we're walking by this Holy Spirit, Jesus is ever before us. Would he go there? Would he do this? Would he interact this way? How would Jesus be? John 15, 26, but when the helper comes, again, Jesus calls the third person of the Trinity, God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, the helper. You see, we're weak, aren't we? We know these things principally, but if you're anything like me, I know that there are areas that I'm going to go, thank you, God, for that victory. And then there's other things I'm going, man, I know I'm going to struggle. I want you to know that every moment of your life, every second of your life, if you're a Christian, the Helper is helping you. He is with you. He is closer to you than you know. He is advocating for you. Sometimes you don't know how to pray. The Bible says that he even intercedes to the Father for you when you don't know what to say. But the Helper, the Holy, excuse me, but John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, Jesus says. So how do we know if we're walking, at least in a general way, are you consumed with Jesus? I am convinced that is the remedy for the world. That is the remedy for an ice cold dead American church.
Yes.
It's not about rules. It's not about things like that. It is becoming fixated on Jesus.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallmarks of walking in the flesh. And I want to say this, and I'm going to say it a couple of times. We all need the Helper in these areas. Do not let Satan dogpile on you today. Don't let yourself off the hook and think it doesn't matter. But I want you to know something. Jesus Christ is our perfection. When you come to Christ, he wraps you in his righteous holy robes. And and the Father looks at you and sees the righteousness of Jesus. Just as Jesus was punished as if he committed your sins, you are received by God as if you did not commit those sins. As your sins were dealt with on the cross and acknowledged
yes,
at the cross.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, don't fall into condemnation. And don't blow this off. Don't ignore this. Paul says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Remember, these are contrary to walking in the Spirit. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Let's just keep reading. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit. We sometimes will read those things, but we rarely will see books written on that last part. There's lines in the sand that are being drawn. Well, we can put these in general categories. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, orgies, things that are not listed here, homosexuality, pedophilia. Those are the things that our kids are going to be warring against. And I can't tell you that for sure, but I am telling you that if we do not, as the church, stand up and rise up and open these Bibles and teach these things, that is what is going to happen.
Yeah.
That they will normalize every form of sexual deviation as the church, by and large, sits around and says next to nothing. Yeah. So true. Sexual immorality. That is one of the great pitfalls of really all societies, and it's something so potent here in the American society. It's all over the place. You can't go almost anywhere and not be confronted with these temptations and these things. And some of this is even celebrated in the name of Christ. And Paul is saying, these are, as you look at the trees, remember when Jesus says we can judge a tree by its fruit. We really can't judge intentions and hearts, but you can judge the fruit that is on a tree. These are things, guys, it is not easy. These are things, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write these as a red flashing sign for us to check to see where we are at. And what is accepted today will be celebrated tomorrow. That's what happened in the sexual revolution. That's how Satan got such a foothold in our society and in the church. Well, what's so wrong with two consenting adults? I mean, a guy and a girl. I mean, who cares what they do? Stop being so old-fashioned. I mean, look, they tithe. They put money in the offering plate. You better be careful what you say. And I love John MacArthur, and I've probably said this many times, but and I'm sure many others have said this, but he stands out to me. You know, the dirty little secret that Satan forgot to include with that is that just like cancer never just gets better, sin never just gets better. And the church needs to lovingly but truthfully, grace and truth, talk about these things and say, put it on your radar and go to war with it. It went from the sexual revolution to the homosexual revolution. It went from that to now we have a transgender mess in our society. And I'm telling you, and I could be wrong, I don't know. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. But I can tell you they're starting to normalize even things like pedophilia. Mm. Yes. Mm. And it's satanic.
It is.
So that's the first group that Paul says, as we assess where we're at, knowing that we stumble, knowing that we are not perfect, knowing that we always have more refining work on this in this life to do. These are general, these are things to generally look at and say, man, am I walking with Christ or am I walking in the flesh? Idolatry would be a second group here, sorcery. A lot of these things go hand in hand. Idolatry is one of the main themes from Genesis through Revelation that we are to be at war with. It comes in 1,000 different manifestations. Sorcery, you're not to fool around with it. Don't fool around with it. We did a trick-or-treat outreach, and people can have varying degrees of, you know, how they feel about certain things, but I am telling you, don't fool around with it. Don't fool around with the occult. Don't fool around with Ouija boards. Don't fool around with tarot cards. Don't fool around with psychics. Don't fool around with that stuff. Sorcery. Enmity. Strife. Anger. Rivalries. Dissensions and divisions. Satan uses these things. We all have seen it so many times. In churches, in families, in societies. This is, this is one of Satan's favorite tools to use. By the way, most of these things put Jesus on the cross. That's why we should be so aware of these things. They hated Jesus. And while they probably never outright accused him of sexual immorality, how many times do you read in the life of Jesus, oh, he's the son of Joseph. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. They mocked him, and they mocked him because of sexual immorality and allegations. Idolatry, sorcery. He's full of the devil, is what they said about our Lord. He's full of Satan. He's using sorcery. He's using the demonic. They pinned Jesus to the cross. Enmity, they hated him for telling the truth. Strife. They hated him because he loved the unlovely from the outside. They hated him because he came for the Jew and the Gentile to bring us into one. They hated him. They had strife against him because they didn't want their Messiah to be a humble, marginalized Galilean peasant. Rivalries, dissensions, and divisions. These are things that every Christian needs to be against. We don't jump into the fray. We don't jump into the drama. And while there are times that discussions are appropriate, we are peacemakers. And we don't fool around with these things. We should be agents of peace. If people are fighting in the family, we are agents of peace. If people are fighting in the church, we are agents of peace. This needs to be, these are the hallmarks of things that will kill any church family. Envy, drunkenness. That covers just about everything that Paul says here. Again, we want to start with the good news. Why do we call the gospel the good news? Because Jesus saves us from these things. And because when we are weak, he is strong. Because we have the righteousness of Jesus. And Satan loves to try to hurl accusations and condemn us. But Jesus was already condemned for you. Jesus was already humiliated for you. There are things that we probably all would go back in our past and we would change if we could. And we don't want to live in shame. We don't want to live in condemnation. You need to know that. The good news is this, is that while we are following after Jesus, we are the ones that were saved. He came to save his people from their sins. And I want to encourage you today, because when we read a list like that, we all probably are going, oh, man. Man, you know, the thoughts or the temptations or the things that we stumble in. Know that it's good news that Jesus has washed you whiter than snow. Amen. He will present you before his Father without spot or wrinkle. And not because of us, but because of him. He gives us his perfection. But the Bible says this, that when we become a Christian, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We put off the old man and we put on Jesus. So while we are what the Bible would call being sanctified, we're being conformed and molded and made more and more like Jesus. Yeah. Our life begins to change. They're singing happy birthday. I love it. Don't you love that our kids are learning this stuff on their level back in the back?
Yes, yes.
So we do slip and we do, have areas to grow in, and we are never going to be perfect on this side of eternity. How do you know that? Because the same guy that wrote this also wrote, I don't do the things I want to do. There's this war that we talked about. There's this battle. And even the great apostle Paul would say, the things I want to do, I don't do. Yeah. The things I don't want to do, I do. There's a battle that we are in here. But what is the general dominant direction of our lives? Okay? What is the general direction of our lives? I'm not talking about a snapshot where you got mad at your kids or, you know, you got mad at your husband or something, or and we all look terrible in snapshots. I know I do. We all probably do. But I'm talking about the panoramic. I'm talking about the video. I'm talking about the predominant way we're loving and living. I'm talking about the predominant direction of our lives. Think about your funeral. What are people going to talk about at your funeral? The best is when they talk about Jesus.
Amen.
That's what I want. And hopefully it's not some kind of an artificial, man, he was just like Jesus. Well, that's not really accurate either. But he strove to be like Jesus. He strove to do those things. Now my kids would go, remember when Dad said we can do this the easy way or the easy way? And he used to get mad at us because it was both ways were easy to him. But you can talk about that too. But that's a good gauge, isn't it? Yeah. Talk about what kind of a party animal you are and how you did this or that. Or are they talking about Jesus coming from your life? And lastly, as we, because this is kind of hard, we're going to get to some very powerful things here in a second. But I want to say this one last time. I don't know when the next time you'll hear it. Paul warns us that those that are fooling around with this kind of a lifestyle, those that are flippant with these things, not people that are at war, not people that are generally fighting those things and stumble, that's not what he's talking about. People that do not care about their sex life, they do not care what they worship, they do not care about being under other influences, it doesn't even blip on their radar, will not inherit the kingdom. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I don't, for the life of me, and I never will understand why we don't talk more about this, because you don't want to miss that. This life is a vapor. Some of you that are a little older than me could probably tell me, man, you are going to blink and you're going to be retired, and you're going to blink and then you're going to be with him. I mean, this life goes by fast. You don't have time to waste this life. If you're younger than me, you don't have time to waste. And it's not worth it. Because God's word is not telling us lies. And our loved ones that we need to be lovingly sharing Jesus with. This is what is on the line. I want them to be with us and ultimately him forever in eternity. And we can figure all kinds of other things out in heaven. Okay? We'll have an eternity, if you know, but we want to get them to Christ.
Right.
Now, we don't want to live in condemnation. We all have areas to grow in that little list that we read. The hallmark. Let's look at the hallmarks of those that are walking in a manner worthy of Jesus. See, the Bible says we can't save ourselves, but we are to walk in a worthy manner for our King as his ambassadors. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. I want you guys to know that God loves you.
Amen.
Yes.
He loves you, and he died for you. He sent his son to take our sin, and that love, while we will never reflect it perfectly, his love in us needs to come from us. The greatest commandment in the entire world, the greatest commandment, the greatest thing is to love God.
Yes.
Love God. Keep coming after him. You ignore Satan when he tells you that you're disqualified. You kept messing up in those other areas. Jesus came to save sinners.
That's right.
Jesus came to save sinners. I am the sinner, and Paul would say, I'm the greatest sinner. And to love people. That's what we're doing at this church. By the way, that's what we're striving for at the Way. That's what every biblical church is striving for. When people walk through that door, they need to feel love.
Yes.
When we go out and do an outreach or something, they need to feel love.
Yes.
When they come in here. This world is brutal. And we want them to feel the love of Christ. And the greatest sin of all is to not love God and to not love our neighbors. If those are the greatest commandments, they're the greatest sin to not do. So love, joy. Again, this world can be so hard in some ways. But when we come together as a church, it's joy that we need to find.
Yes.
Joy in the midst of good times and seasons of revival, seasons of peace, seasons of happiness. Joy when we go through the difficulties. And not always maybe happiness, but an underlying source of joy. And peace. Another fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. Do you know that Jesus Christ brought peace? He brought peace between us and God in a hostile environment. That peace needs to calm us in all areas of our life. And I say that to you as somebody that battles anxiety. Because one of them things where I read it, I know it's true for you, but that's one of my own personal struggles. I can tell you everything wrong that's going to happen. But peace, not like the world gives, but perfect peace that Jesus gives. Rest in him. That's what the Sabbath is all about. Resting in him. Patience. Patience with each other.
Yeah.
Satan will do everything he can as we're following Christ and growing as a church family. He can take any one of these and do the inverse and make us not patient with each other or not loving. We are at war with that. That's how the world does business.
Yes.
Goodness, kindness and goodness. I love that we have a church that helps each other, that wants to help each other. I know a lot of us are still getting to know each other in certain ways. As we love and do these things as a church family. And as a church family, when we gather and when we scatter, when you go home, let that be our hallmark. Faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to his word. Faithfulness to our King. Faithfulness to the mission. Faithfulness to the gospel. faithfulness to his word. These are the hallmarks of Christians. To be faithful. Gentle. Gentleness. Bearing each other's burdens. Caring for each other. This world is brutal. And if the world can't come to the church, where can they go?
Right.
We're
right.
The world's last hope. We're their only hope. Now, Christ in us. There's nowhere for them to go. What's happened is that the church in certain ways has become so worldly, it's very, not that much different in some ways, where it's like, well, if I'm going to get backbitten and gossiped about and hurt, why, I think I'd go to the bar and do that. And here, you know, and this was some good music this morning, but I mean, I can go get entertained by a real clown. And be told jokes by somebody that's actually funny, not accidentally funny, like I can do something. And here are musicians that play the music that I listen to on the radio. And I don't have to get up early. No, you don't have to get up that early here. We let you sleep in. But when the world is not that much different than the church, why come? Gentleness, self-control. These are the hallmarks of Christians. This is Jesus. Who is the most loving and the most full of joy in the midst of some difficulties. Perfect peace. Don't you love that Jesus never freaked out?
True.
I mean, he never caved in to people coming at him. Garden of Gethsemane, he had some serious times of prayer there, but Jesus is always in control. And even in the midst of praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, your will be done. He's in control. He has peace, patience, and all of these things. I want to ask us and challenge us as followers of Jesus, do we know that to bear his name, to not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, to be a Christian is to be focused on these things, to set our minds on these things, and to be honest in areas that we need to grow. But to even think about it puts you in such a better position than to just ignore it. Because and Satan will say, just don't do anything. Don't do anything, because you're never going to fail. You're never going to not fail.
Right, right, right.
There's that biblical balance. He is our perfection. Jesus did all of these things perfectly for us, but we follow him. Follow me, Jesus said. Follow me. Let's end. We're going to round the corner. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Paul said this in the second chapter, that I am crucified with Christ.
Yes.
He says it here again. Those things that I cared about, those things that seemed so important, those things, as you consider these things today, and you think, maybe I won't do that. Maybe I'll stay away from certain things. Satan's already in your ear. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. You don't want to let that stuff go. We're going to crucify it to the cross of Christ. We don't want anything to hinder our fellowship with Jesus. If you're a Christian and you're fooling around with that stuff on that list, it will hinder your nearness to Christ. To the point where you won't even feel like you're saved sometimes. And Satan, while he can't rip you from his hands, no one can, not even yourself, by the way, he can get those consolation prizes where you don't feel like you're saved, you don't walk near to God, you don't have these promises and this fruit that are given to you by the Holy Spirit, and they are hindered. Those who belong to Christ Jesus. See, if you belong to Jesus, you are safe. You are safe. We have crucified the flesh with its passions. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep step with the Spirit. It's not a moment in time. We hear somebody preach a message and we get kind of fired up for 15 minutes. I've been there, so maybe you have or haven't. But no, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep step with the Spirit. As we live this life, we're keeping step with the Spirit. We follow what he says. We follow the direction he goes. As a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path.
Yes.
We keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. And you're going to trip. You're going to stumble.
Right.
You're gonna have those times too. And we repent.
Yes.
We repent.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And we get right back up.
Yes.
70 times 7.
Yes.
Relentlessly.
Yes.
That's how God forgives you.
Yes.
That's how Jesus told us to forgive others.
Yes.
How much more does God forgive us like that? And we get back up and we say, you know what? I'm living by the Spirit. I'm going to keep in step with the Spirit. Satan, I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what lies you say to me. I might stumble 2 minutes later, but I'm keeping in step with the Spirit. This is the way I'm going. This is the way I'm walking.
Yes.
Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You see, again, reading these things, the good, the bad, the difficult, the uplifting, it can fill you with some kind of pride or being conceited, as if you are somehow involved with these spiritual victories. But this is by the Spirit of God, and we are not conceited. We are not full of self-righteousness and self-pride. When we have victories, don't you take a victory lap. All you say is, thank you, Jesus, for giving me this victory. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me this power. You have overcome the world.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And we have overcome the world when we walk in step with him. When you stumble, repent. Be humble and repent. When you have victory, and you will. It's not all negative. It's not all defeat. You will have great victories. Be humble still. We're not conceited. It's Jesus in us.
Yes, it is.
Ask Jesus today. Might sound weird. I know, because I come from a very, very conservative Pentecostal background, and some of you do too. That can mean a lot. I guess a lot of different things. I'm not talking about, oh God, let me speak in tongues, or let me do, if that's the gift God gives you, then that's one thing. But I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit that we should be fixing. Fill me, and let that be the evidence that I am full of the Spirit. Ask the Father today. Read through that list. That's what our kids are memorizing, the fruit of the Spirit.